The personal liberties that concern me extend beyond individuals and include families and households as well. For one thing, I have always supported homeschooling families who run the ideological gamut from Vermont environmentalists to Southern evangelicals. As I have said, the government does not own you, and neither does it own your children. It is bad enough that some parents find themselves forced to pay for an education they not only will not use for their children, but whose content they deeply oppose from a philosophical or religious point of view. I've sometimes wondered why those who would never dream of forcibly taking people's money to pay to support a religious belief they do not share have no hesitation at all in taking their money to support an educational philosophy they do not share. It is even worse that in some cases they have to maneuver a legal minefield in order to provide their children with the kind of education they want. One could write a lengthy book on the ways in which government intrudes upon the legitimate rights of the family, but consider this example, which is all the more interesting for having been ignored in the media. In 2004, a presidential initiative called the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health issued a report calling for forced mental health screening for all American children, beginning in preschool. Although no such program has begun at the federal level, grants have already been sent out to establish pilot programs in localities across the country in conformity with the New Freedom Report. I think we know what that means. Before considering just how outrageous this proposal is, let us consider the obvious beneficiary of such a program, the pharmaceutical industry. There can be little doubt that under such a program, millions more children would suddenly be discovered to be in need of psychotropic drugs. Some 2.5 million American children use such drugs already, with, according to the Journal of American Medical Association, a 300% increase from 1991 through 1995 alone. The figure increased another fivefold from 1995 to 2002. Is this a good thing? We have reason to be skeptical. We have no idea what the long-term side effects of the use of such drugs in children whose brains are still developing will be. Medical science has not even exhaustively identified every possible brain chemical, even as we alter youngsters' brains with drugs. Short-term side effects are already apparent in many children. Yet parents have actually been threatened with child abuse charges if they refuse to drug their children. It will be all the more difficult to resist such a regimen if a federal mental health screener recommends it. Diagnosis of some of these disorders are notoriously subjective, and physician Karen Ephraim wonders if children could even be stigmatized simply for having religious or political views that differ from fashionable orthodoxies. The key question, though, is by what right government intrudes into such an area? The issue of mental health is obviously a question for parents, children, and their doctors to deal with themselves. What kind of free people would turn their children's most intimate health matters over to government strangers? Ever since this report appeared, I have sought to deny funding to any such program. My opponents have described this as an overreaction, but in light of how our government normally behaves, is it really? If the history of American government teaches us anything, it is that the time to fight oppressive and absurd programs is before they are established, since once they are in place, they are essentially impossible to dismantle. They need to be blocked before they have a chance to start. Otherwise, local programs with federal funding will grow larger and larger and be found in many more localities until we finally have a mandatory federal screening program. This is how it always works. I mention this example not because it is the most pressing issue facing our republic today, but simply because it is so revealing. A report commissioned by the executive branch casually recommends mandatory mental health screening of all American children and receives next to no attention. Even a generation ago, the media would have picked up on this, and American parents would have rejected it so contemptuously that no one would have dared to bring it up again. This program is also a useful object lesson in how assaults on our liberties sometimes begin, limited in scope and full of benign language, and how special interests, in this case, the psychiatric establishment and the pharmaceutical industry, adopt the line that they're just looking out for the common good. I am sure it is just a coincidence that thanks to the proposal they will happen to get millions of additional clients for free. Our Constitution was written to restrain government, not the people. Government is always tempted to turn that maxim upside down. Little wonder that George Washington, the father of our country, once said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquent, it is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." Chapter 6. Money, the Forbidden Issue in American Politics. Americans are concerned about our financial picture. The housing bubble, the collapsing dollar, the specter of inflation. Most don't know what's causing it, but they correctly sense that something in our economic system is rotten.